This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program will help you, challenge you, and encourage you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, you can do so by regular mail. You can do so through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website. The website has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as a lot of other helpful information. Now, we've been going through the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and we've been doing that both from the standpoint of understanding them literally and understanding the teaching that the Lord was trying to give with regard to those miracles. We would remember that most of the teaching that the Lord did was either teaching by parables, which were stories that had a spiritual meaning, or he did teaching through his miracles, and he did some direct teaching as he would do in the Sermon on the Mount. But a lot of his teaching was designed to make those who didn't want to understand able to criticize what he was saying, and to make those who did want to understand to give them the light that they wanted with regard to his mission and with regard to him, to give them a reason for believing. And that's the reason we're going through this. We believe that these miracles actually occurred, and it proves that the Lord is the very Son of God. And so then, if he's the Son of God, what he says can be depended upon. And as we read the scriptures, whether it's scriptures having to do with the direct quotes of the Lord or scriptures having to do with inspiring others to write, it's the Word of God, and faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our main concern is, do you have saving faith? And if you have saving faith, does that give you the desire to please the Lord in your life? So faith does come by hearing. Now, we're looking at these miracles, and we've gotten to miracle 32, I believe it is, today, or miracle 31 today. Last time we looked at a miracle that occurred on the Sabbath day, and today we're going to look at a miracle that occurs on the Sabbath day as well. Last time we looked at Luke 13, this time we're going to look at Luke 14, starting at verse 1, which says, "Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy," and as I understand it, that's swelling of parts of the body, probably the hands and the legs and maybe the face. "And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He asked them that question, but they kept silent." They're beginning to learn as the last time this happened in the synagogue, they had indignation. But anyway, there were more there than just the Lord. There were lawyers as well as Pharisees. "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And they kept silent. "And he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ax that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, it's interesting that in both of these instances of healing, the first one having to do with a woman who was bent over and could not stand up, and the second one having to do with a man who had swelling in his body, that in both of these cases the healing occurred on the Sabbath day. In one case it occurred in the synagogue, in the other case it occurred in the house of one of the Pharisees where the Lord had gone to eat bread. I take it he had been invited there on the Sabbath day. Now, it's interesting that while they didn't think you should heal on the Sabbath day, that is the Pharisees and the lawyers and those in charge of the religious rules of those of that day, they didn't think you should heal on the Sabbath day. They had no problem having a feast which involved apparently quite a few people on the Sabbath day. And I've kind of wondered about that. I know the Jews had special rules with regard to the cooking of meals on the Sabbath day. Their Sabbath actually started at sundown on Friday. So our Friday evening meal often was their first Sabbath meal, and then they had a morning meal and an early afternoon meal. And if you go through what I understand to be the guidelines of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day, they could not kindle a fire. They could not take raw meat and cook it. They could not cook, really, on the Sabbath day. But at the same time, apparently there were some foods that they could reheat. And I don't know how you reheat food without kindling a fire, unless they had microwaves in that day, and I don't think they did from what I understand. So there seems to be some confusion in my mind as to how much work they were going to prepare a feast like this for the Lord on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm told you that really the Lord is teaching about hypocrisy in these cases, and it should speak to our own hearts when we think of the places where we too have hypocritical attitudes with regard to the things that we accept and the things we don't accept. And we always go to the Bible, of course, to take a verse out of context to prove our point. So I have a hard time understanding how they could be keeping the Sabbath. This Pharisee could have been keeping the Sabbath and still have quite a company in for a meal on the Sabbath day. Now, it's possible that all the meal had been prepared the day before, and it maybe this was the Friday night meal, and it had been prepared just before sundown and was still warm. But still, there had to be a matter of the serving of the meal, and if the Jews didn't do that, they at least had to have some Gentile servants that they were asking to do that. So there had to be the serving of the meal, there had to be the hosting of the meal, and it seems to me, at least if my experience in trying to entertain company is any indication, that hosting a meal is always requires some effort and some work. We don't normally just go out to McDonald's and buy a sack lunch and eat it on a picnic bench. We normally make sure that our guests come into the home, that they're comfortable, that they're fed on our best china, and they're fed food that they'll enjoy. So I just am having a hard time understanding how they could criticize the Lord for healing on the Sabbath day when they themselves were hosting a meal on the Sabbath day. But since I don't understand all the culture of that day, I'm going to leave that alone, other than to say that the rules, again, that they were keeping were made by them, and they were not keeping with the intent of the Sabbath as it was originally intended. And I think of our own situation today, because we know that we're not under the law and we're not required to keep the Sabbath. Sabbath being Saturday, the seventh day, starting, as I said, sundown Friday and going to sundown on Saturday. And we're not required to keep the Sabbath. And really, a Christian Jew today is not required to keep the Sabbath. The Bible says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female when it comes to the whole body of Christ. We have different functions, but we have the same standing when it comes to being in the body of Christ. And so, as we look at the Sabbath, we're not under the law today, but yet there is teaching that we should keep the first day of the week in much the same way that the Jews kept the Sabbath. And in days gone by, there were people who would take the first day of the week and would go to their respective congregations and worship the Lord. Normally they would come home and have a Sunday noon meal, often with company, but they didn't play ball. They didn't go out to venues of entertainment. They dedicated that day to the Lord, and it was supposed to be a day of rest. Now, again, whether it was a day of rest, if you were entertaining company, you could question. Now, There are some who would maintain that Sunday, which I believe is called in the Bible the Lord's Day. There are some denominations that disagree with that, and I'll tell you that up front. But as I read the Bible, it seems as though the first day of the week is Resurrection Day, and it's also the Lord's Day. And it appears that the disciples began to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. So when we come to the Lord's Day, is it a Christian Sabbath? And the answer I'm going to give you, many of you will disagree with. The answer is definitely no. But is it a day where we should have a day of rest and where we should dedicate the day to the Lord? Now, I'm not really the best one to speak on this because as a preacher, I do a lot of my work on the Lord's Day. But it seems to me today that we have moved from dedicating that day to the Lord to giving the Lord an hour or two in the morning and then making sure that we have the day filled with all kinds of events that have nothing to do with the Lord. We find that the schools want to schedule some of their tournaments on the Lord's Day. We know that if you have cities scheduling activities for your kids, they'll schedule them on the Lord's Day. And it seems as though the Lord's Day is no longer a day of rest, and it's no longer a day when we reflect on what the Lord has done for us. And so we perhaps are just as hypocritical in this area as the Jews were, because the Lord's Day should be a day for preaching the gospel. It should be a day for remembering the Lord. It should be a day when we recharge our batteries when it comes to our secular employment, our secular work, and we should be resting. And if we had the Lord's Day set aside to really rest and reflect, maybe there would be more people who would understand what the Bible really says because they would read it on the Lord's Day. Now, we should read it every day and we should pray every day, but we could give it special attention on the Lord's Day. So as I look at these Pharisees criticizing the Lord for healing on the Sabbath and yet having a meal where they invite people in on that same Sabbath, it appears to me that they had lost sight of what the Sabbath was really all about, a day when they could be in close communion with the Lord. And we need that same thing in principle. While we don't have it in set out legally, there is a principle that we should be dedicating a day to the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it seems to me like we put the Lord on the back burner today. If we sought the kingdom of God first, there would be more people, I believe, convicted of their sin, who would come to know the Lord, who would really understand that the Lord did say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First, we need the Sabbath rest that comes with believing. And then we need to dedicate time to the Lord so we can be devoted to him and useful to him through the rest of the week. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon a few of these thoughts that we've tried to share. We trust this will be a help to those who have listened. We give thanks for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.